Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Let's take a closer look at this gospel story about an angel coming to Mary and making the announcement. Now, Luke records that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, the sixth month of what? Well, the sixth month of Elizabeth's child or conception. Now, Elizabeth was a relative of Mary. And 6 months after an angel actually visited Zechariah and announced to him that his wife, who was barren, would give birth to a son, and he's to call his name John, 6 months later, that same angel came to Mary and made an announcement. Now, if you're here, or if you're listening to this message, and you're saying to yourself, angels? Yes, angels are a part of the message of God throughout the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, we hear about angels. Angels are a part of God's messengers. They are the ones who bring a message to God's people and make announcements. They're part of God's plan of salvation. Whenever something extraordinary happens to the ordinary, often it is an angel that makes that announcement. Now, we believe God's word, that is the Bible, is God's word from cover to cover. And if angels are mentioned in God's word, we believe it. Now, there are some people who say there's no such thing as angels. Well, if anybody's ever told you that, they are a false prophet, because angels are part of God's word. Angels are found in the Old Testament. Angels are found in the New Testament. The birth of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Jesus himself believed in angels. And we believe in angels. And angels are a part of the Christmas story. Angels are a part of that ordinary story that becomes extraordinary. Listen up. The angel Gabriel, he has a name, was sent by God. This is a part of God's plan of salvation, to make that announcement to Mary. Now, the city of Galilee named Nazareth is pretty ordinary. A virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. That's pretty ordinary. Joseph being of the house of David is pretty ordinary. But an angel coming, making an announcement, now that's extraordinary. That's divine. That's part of God's plan. Listen to how Luke records it once again. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Now, that was extraordinary, because an angel greeting a human being, wow, she must have been taken back by this. And we know that, but she was greatly troubled, we're told, at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Now, running through her mind could have been the angel who came to Gideon and said, "Greetings, O mighty warrior." But here this angel said to her, Greetings, O favored one. That's extraordinary. To be favored by God is a blessing. It's part of God's grace. Now, while she was troubled and trying to think about what this all means, the angel comforted her and said these words, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And behold, here's where the angel now announces the extraordinary. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Jesus means God's salvation. God saves. Now, for a virgin to conceive and give birth to a son, that could be considered ordinary. But for a virgin to conceive without a husband, that's extraordinary. Let's take a look at how this extraordinary story, 9 months before the birth of Christ, takes place. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Now all of a sudden this ordinary becomes extraordinary because this Jesus is going to be called the Son of the Most High. Now for Mary, that would be God Almighty. "And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." Now if Mary knew her Old Testament, and we believe she did, Mary was waiting for the Messiah. And she knew that the Messiah would come someday and take over the throne of David. Now that's extraordinary. Jesus was the gift worth waiting for. Now, of course, Mary was waiting for the Messiah, no different than Joseph was waiting for the Messiah to be born, Zechariah, Elizabeth, and all the children of Israel. Jesus was the gift worth waiting for. But Mary, at the same time, was also waiting for her husband, Joseph, to come to her and to fulfill the betrothing and be married to him. Joseph, I'm sure, was waiting for that day he would come and take his bride into his home and they'd consummate the marriage. But that was put on hold because another gift was coming. It was the gift of the Most High, the Savior of the world. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." The angel's making it perfectly clear to Mary that this is the promised Messiah, the Son of David, whose kingdom would have no end, as Isaiah proclaimed in one of the prophecies, that the government would be upon his shoulders, the authority would be upon him. Listen to how this ordinary virgin becomes extraordinary, the mother of the Most High. "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be since I am a virgin?'" She understood how conception works. She understood the ordinary process, but she couldn't figure this out. And so she asks the question, "How will this be?" And the angel explains the extraordinary thing that's going to take place in the life of Mary. "And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who has been called barren." And here's that beautiful announcement from the angel. "For nothing will be impossible with God." You know, I believe the angel probably should have started with this. Coming to Mary, the angel should have announced, "For nothing will be impossible with God." That is the answer to the extraordinary of the Bible and all of God's divine word. From creation, nothing is impossible with God. To the first coming of Christ, nothing is impossible with God. To the second coming, nothing is impossible with God. An angel coming, nothing is impossible with God. In fact, the divine message of the Bible is this: nothing is impossible with God. The salvation of mankind, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible. Nothing is impossible from the past to the present to the future. It's part of that divine message. It's why we believe in God's word from cover to cover, because it's extraordinary. The Christmas message is extraordinary. It says to us today, with God, nothing will be impossible. What are you struggling with today, this Advent season? Do you have a burden, a concern, a care? Of course, there's a lot to be concerned and to care about in our world today with the pandemic and all the things that go with it. But we have a message from an angel. It is a message that's as important to us as it was to Mary. With God, nothing will be impossible. So the angel explains to Mary, and she believes it. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Well, you know, I don't quite understand everything in the Bible. I don't understand how a virgin could give birth. Therefore, I don't believe, or I cannot believe. Be careful. Because I say to you, unless you believe, you will never understand. You'll never understand who God is and what he has done for you. You'll never understand the Christmas story or the Easter story or God's plan of salvation. It is by that grace that has been showered upon us that we understand the extraordinary message of God's plan of salvation. Let's take a look at it in a different light. Now, how did Mary conceive and bear a son? Well, the angel was very clear. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The third person of the Holy Trinity would come upon Mary. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And the child to be born will be called the Son of God. Now let's take that and apply it to our own lives. If you're here and you're listening, and you may be asking, how can I believe? Or you should ask yourself, how have I believed? How do we believe in what the Bible tells us? How do we believe in the greatest story ever told, the plan, God's plan of salvation? How do we believe in the Christmas story? No different than Mary. Let's change what happened to Mary and apply it to our very own life. How will I ever believe? Or how have I believed? Well, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And the power of the Most High has overshadowed you. So that which is born in you, a new life, a new Adam, a new Eve. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again to water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom or enter it. How have we believed? It's the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul was explaining in Galatians chapter 4, where through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have become adopted children of God. It is John who proclaims that in the first chapter of his gospel. To those who believed, those he has allowed to become children of God. Not born of flesh or the will of a husband, but born of God. So, what is the gift worth waiting for? Yes, it's the gift of the one and only Son, Jesus Christ. We celebrate that as we prepare this Advent season for Christmas. But as the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, remember this, the day you were baptized, when water was applied with God's word, for the first time you heard the word of God, it is through word and sacrament ministry that the Holy Spirit comes upon you and has come upon me. And he has overshadowed us. And he has changed our life. And something has been born on the inside. It is called faith by the grace of God. And that faith enables us to understand the divine message that unto all of us was born in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. My prayer is this, that each and every one of you listening to my words will respond in the way Mary did. I call this the first steps of being a child of God, the first steps in being a Christian, the first steps of discipleship. Listen to the words. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. May we respond this Advent season to what God has done in our world, in our lives, through the power of the Holy Spirit. May we respond by saying, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be to me as you have said. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, this first week in Advent, may we see the ordinary, but also the extraordinary. We thank you for that angel Gabriel, that messenger from you, who shared with Mary what would happen. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, not only in the life of Mary, but in our own personal life. May we never forget what has been born within each and every one of us who truly believe. That is the gift of faith, the gift of the Christ child within us. Help us to respond day in and day out as Mary did, knowing it is a blessing to serve the Lord, to be a part of spreading the good news of the plan of salvation. May this Advent season and Christmas season represent the plan of salvation and the true reason for this Christmas season, that is the birth of Jesus Christ, announced to Mary 9 months before it happened. That's extraordinary. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.